Greetings from Long Island, where every highway is a sunrise. It's time for Dave's Gone By, an hour of comedy, talk, and music brought to you by Total Theater, with your host, Dave Lefkowitz. You've never heard anything like it, so sit back, relax, squeal if you must. Here's the host of Dave's Gone By, Dave!
Tropical hot dog night! Like two flamingos in a fruit fight!
There goes the Daverhood! Welcome, everybody, to the 157th episode of Dave's Gone By. It is good to be back. I took a couple of weeks off, enjoyed a patch of amazingly mild January weather. I mean, a whole week or so when the thermometer didn't dip below 40. People were walking around, like, disappointed, almost. I mean, they were thrilled, of course. Who wouldn't want balmy weather in the middle of the winter? But being New Yorkers, we're like, something's not right. We should be suffering more. There's the sense that if we're getting good weather now, we're going to pay for it somewhere down the line. And I'm not sure if that's New York, or New York Jewish, or just neurotic, but there is something inexplicably ominous about such great weather over an extended period of time. I mean, one day or two in December or January where you get a fluke warm front, that happens every year. It's one of the saving graces of winter, because if you have a foot of snow and ice on the ground that's just been sitting there, not melting or half melting and then refreezing for 2 weeks, you need that big hairdryer blast of 50-degree weather for a day or two just to make it through the season without breaking your spirit or your legs. But when you get a whole run of gorgeous weather, some rain, a bit of fog, and chilly nights, but still unseasonably seamless splendor, we've all got that inner worry that for every great day to which the heavens are treating us, there's going to be 3 days of snow that would make Vermont cry. Jagged chunks of ice hailing down on Roosevelt Field, which would scare the hell out of Mrs. Field, if nothing else. Roosevelt, get in the house before the ice hits you! No, but our only help is that God is paying it forward somehow. You know, we got deluged in November. Literally, floods like the South Shore, most of the island, was never seen before. Certainly not in the 3 decades I've been living here. I mean, people started building boats and grouping their SUVs 2x2. And what was our payback for a week of misery? Not to mention a snowstorm a week or two later. Well, we got off easy in December. Temperatures were generally 5 to 10 degrees above average, and not too much rain, no snow. I mean, usually by Christmas, everybody's already fed up with winter, and the season only began 4 days earlier. Now, we're halfway through January, and the elements have been pretty hospitable, knock on wood. The weather has been clement. I'm not sure what clement has been. You'll have to ask him. But if you ask me where I've been the last 2 weeks, well, that's the story. I did my roundup shows at the end of December and the first week of January, took 2 weeks off to regroup, and came back to start Aught 6, up to my old tricks. We're here on this new night, which I'm very excited about. I think we're even going to gain a lot of people who would have listened to the show when it was on Thursday evenings, but couldn't get home in time, or finished with dinner, or they were just heading out the door to a show, or shopping, or whatever. So please, tell your friends, tell your colleagues, tell that strange guy in the raincoat who hangs out in the parking lot at Chuck E. Cheese, tell them all. Dave's Gone By is back. We're here, brand new shows. Any information they want about the program, they'll find it at davesgoneby.org. And remember, that's D-A-V as in Victor, E-S, goneby.org. It's spelled that way because my name is Dave. Dave Lefkowitz, radio personality, theater critic, journalist, and humorist, And I've been doing this program, Dave's Gone By, since October 2002. And since then, we've done 156 shows and counting. We've amassed a wonderful group of listeners and folks who enjoy and care about the show. And we've gotten ourselves syndicated to web radio, live365.com. You can hear us every Thursday night, 8 and 11, on the DFSX radio channel. So if you miss a show on WGBB, you can hear some of our older classic Daves going back to the very first one. And you can click from the Dave's Gone By website, davesgoneby.org, right over to DFSX and listen live on Thursday nights. Now, we've had amazing guests on over the years. If you're listening back on January 5th, we did a backtrack show featuring some of the best guests from 2005. Everyone from Reckless Eric to Dr. Elmo, the guy who wrote Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer. I mean, 2005 was just an amazing year for this program. But I have a feeling 2006 is going to be even better. We have a new time slot. We're still going to get fun guests coming up in a week or two. Peter Tork, Monkey Man, and a solo artist since the group went their separate ways. Looking forward to that. Plus, radio personality and author Bob Cudmore. He's been kind enough to have me as a guest on his morning radio show on WVTL in central New York at least half a dozen times. So I'm delighted to return the favor, and he'll be on soon. So will Jamie Masada, the guy who founded the Laugh Factory, both in L.A. and in Midtown Manhattan. And tonight's guest is the author of a fictional book, but one that is just using fiction to spin out a whole bunch of truths. Kind of the opposite of that James Frey book on Oprah, where rightly or wrongly the writer turned his real life into a semi-fiction, but he forgot to tell people just how much he embellished. Kathleen Brush has written a novel about business based on her years as a corporate executive, but not just some CEO or middle management VP. She was the bitch, depending on your point of view, of course. But she was Mephistopheles, the female version of Larry the Liquidator in Other People's Money. She would come into a company in trouble, poke around, scour the books, talk to the employees, and then recommend the tough love steps she thought were necessary to save the company, or at least to save the company tons of money. Now, she did this for 12 years, calling herself, quote, a turnaround executive. She would turn around companies that were falling through the bottom line into a river of red ink. Of course, I'm sure some of the employees she poop-canned called her something else, most likely Hatchet Woman. And in fact, the cover of her book, Watch Your Back, shows the shadow of a corporate-looking lady getting stabbed in the back. Watch Your Back is published by Word Association Publishers, and again, it is fiction. It's a fake company, and all these intrigues and awful behaviors go on. But apparently, they're all based on a true story, or several, that Kathleen Brush witnessed or researched in her years as a lean, mean slicing machine. That's really what I want to talk about. Not so much management strategies or golden parachutes or employee strategies. We'll get into that stuff. But the juicy bits, that's the stuff CEOs and heads of companies did, things they said, tales of greed and misbehavior and incompetence, so shocking, they make the Tyco guy look like a Quaker. So we shall brush to judgment tonight on Dave's Gone By. Also on the show, the return of Peter Fitzgerald. Peter, of course, the vice president of Wigglefar, the Woodmere Gay Liberation Front and rear. He's very committed to issues affecting the gay, lesbian, transgender, and mutant community, and he's quite outspoken and outrageous and just plain out. And tonight, he finally gets to weigh in on Brokeback Mountain, the most important Hollywood film about gay men since Spartacus. No, but much as Peter appreciates the effort of Ong Lee and the film's producers to get A Lavender Story into the red states, he does think Brokeback doesn't break ground. Instead of being all moody and wistful and closeted, it should revel in and celebrate its central single-sex relationship. And Peter, being Peter, is happy to provide an example of what he thinks Brokeback Mountain could have been and should have been. So, stay tuned later on for his version, Butt Boink Mountain. I don't even dare imagine. But we don't have to imagine. It'll be here on the show about a half hour from now. Before then, Kathleen Rush, and first up, the return of Inside Broadway, a look at what's happening on the stages of New York. That segment is brought to us, by the way, by Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide, and the whole show acknowledges the support of MortgagesRock.com, where making money never sounded so good, and Hewlett Minuteman Press, where making copies never felt so easy. It's great to be back. I'm glad you're all here with me for an hour of comedy, talk radio, music, and more on Dave's Gone By. We'll be venturing inside Broadway right after this. Dave's Gone By listeners know I love a good play on words, but let me say a good word on plays, my plays, collected in a lovely book called Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World, comedies that range from strange to deranged, from sad to satirical, fun, and unmistakably Dave. Just $20 hardcover, $12 soft. Put down that crappy bestseller and pick up some laughs. 516-295-1511 or davesgoneby.org for Marriage, Babies, and the End of the World.
Why can't I be good?
Inside Broadway, brought to you by Total Theater's Performing Arts Insider, your everything theater guide. Yes, it's the return of Inside Broadway, our weekly segment about Broadway and sometimes off or even off Broadway on Dave's Gone By. Kind of reworked the segment a little bit. It's been several weeks since we did our last one, and going to be a little more freewheeling most weeks, and not just of shows or things that are happening in theater news over the next week or so, but also some of my views and viewpoints and reviews to make it a little more fun. A little more fun for me, at least, and hopefully for you all as well. So speaking extemporaneously and contemporaneously and also reviewistically, I know that's not a word. Don't go there. The Woman in White. I finally got to see the Andrew Lloyd Webber musical about a week ago, and it opened way back, I think November of 2005. Now, all these critics were supposed to go around the time of the opening. Some did. A lot of the major newspapers they let in. But they asked more of the quote-unquote minor critics to wait because the lead actress, Maria Friedman, ended up being diagnosed with breast cancer and had to go under the knife for thank goodness, fairly minor stuff. But she was out of the show for at least a week, and then she's been mostly with the show, but every once in a while she had to go back for some day surgery and little bitty procedures and to make sure that everything's checking out okay. So instead of seeing it back in November, we all had to wait until after the holidays and go in January. So that's why I'm finally catching up with this important musical of this season. Not that it's going to be important historically, but it is an Andrew Lloyd Webber show. And one of the things that does make it kind of interesting, maybe special, but it also doesn't quite work for me, is the set. You've probably heard a bit about this. There's very little in the way of actual old-fashioned sets, like backdrops and furniture, although there is some. There's a lot of props. But most of the background, most of the things that set the scene and tell you where you are, is all video and still footage. It's all this almost constantly moving pictures, and it's not three-dimensional, but occasionally it really does look as if it's in a third dimension, the way that all the images are projected. Things have certainly come a long way. And sometimes it works very well and does set the mood, and they can go very easily from the moors to a lovely garden to inside of a person's, you know, sweet palatial place, and it just, you know, in a second, because it's just pictures, and the pictures move constantly, and there's one wonderful moment that I noticed, and then there's others where you'll see the lead actress, and she'll just walk across and go in a doorway, and that doorway is the image of the front of the building, and she's just walking through a door in it, and then the visual will pan up the front of the building to a lit window, and then suddenly the doors will open and someone will be in that window. And it's really kind of cool when they do that. Other times, I think the set does detract. I'm used to an old-fashioned place where the actors are walking on carpeting or a rug or there's bookshelves, and there's something real and tangible, which theater sometimes tries to be. And there were moments when I was distanced from the woman in white and thinking, no, these are just actors kind of walking along a bare stage, and there's images behind them, but I'm not connecting the two as well as I should. And that also has to do with some level with the musical itself, which I have to say for about the first 45 minutes is kind of dull. You know, the music is okay, it's pretty-ish. Weber can no longer be accused of doing what he was doing back in the days of Jesus Christ Superstar and certainly Evita, where it's just pop song after pop song that does tell the story, but the music isn't necessarily always thematic, and he's going more after like a listenable hit, hummable tune than really weaving the music into the fabric of the story and telling the story through words and lyrics. Well, here he's doing that a lot more, as he's been doing, even before Sunset Boulevard. And this is probably his most successful work. It's the first work that's, I think, made it to Broadway besides his old By Jeeves since Sunset Boulevard. And so you do get a lot of, each character having certain motifs. And, I mean, Weber's a terrific orchestrator. But the problem is, the early part of the show it's a little bit ominous, as it's supposed to be, because it's this thriller, this potboiler story that is a real page-turner book by Wilkie Collins. I hope you all get to read it. It's rather long and bogs down a little in the middle, but it goes all about this music teacher who goes to stay with this rich two women and their ailing father in their beautiful estate, and he falls for one girl, but she's already promised to another, and this other that she's promised to turns out to be like this terrible man with an evil secret in his past who's going to mistreat her and basically is only marrying her for her money. And he's helped in that by his accomplice, who's this Italian, it's not even a mafioso type, it's more like an Enrico Caruso type, but also in his way quite evil, but a more fun kind of evil, and Andrew Lloyd Webber has fun with that. And, the two most enjoyable songs, as they ought to be, in the show belong to that character, Count Fosco. And as much fun as they are, here's the irony of making all the critics wait for 2 months to see the show because Maria Friedman was out. The person playing Count Fosco, Michael Ball, who got amazing reviews when the show was done in London and got really good reviews here, well, he was, we all saw it too. Maybe he had the flu or something, so you can't win. But as I said, the Fosco songs, A Gift for Living Well, and then the justly celebrated song, You Can Get Away with Anything, those are really fun, and I'm looking forward to hearing them on CD, although you'll miss the really cool part is that he has a live-trained mouse who walks back and forth from his left hand to his right over along his back and shoulders. It's really cool to see. And once Fosco gets in the picture, yes, things do heat up, and they get a little funnier, well, a lot funnier, and they get even a little more chilling because, he's got that way where, yes, he's a comical character, but he's doing some very evil things. And so that ratchets up both the tension and our interest in the show, which until then has just been this kind of placid, pallid romance with a little bit of a spooky ghost story and not all that exciting. So by the time you get into the second act of Woman in White, finally, you're really with it, and you're following the story, and the acting is very good, and you realize that Weber has done it again. He's made a good musical show, one that is worth seeing. But it does take a while to get to that point. So, moderately recommended for The Woman in White on Broadway now. And to find out about everything else that's playing on Broadway now, and off-Broadway, and off-off-Broadway now, as well as cabaret, dance, and opera, and special events happening in New York City, you gotta get yourself Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Performing Arts Insider, a Bible of the theater industry for more than 62 years. You can get it at the Drama Bookshop on West 40th Street, but if you're a Dave's Gone By Dave's Gone By listener, and you want to subscribe, you can save 10% on the annual fees. There's a 12-issue per year plan that's called the monthly, or the full season plan where you get 21 issues a year, one every other week, just about, especially when the theater season is really, really busy. So find out what shows are playing, who's in them, when the casts are changing, who the designers are, and if you're in the theater industry or the entertainment industry and you want to know how to book these actors for your talk shows or how to get in touch with the playwrights or how to contact the designers, all that information is in Performing Arts Insider. How to find out? Go to PerformingArtsInsider.com. Now, this is a hard copy issue. It will come to you in the mail at your office, wherever you want it to, but find out about it online, PerformingArtsInsider.com. And remember, Dave's Gone By listeners get 10% off Performing Arts Insider, the Bible of the Broadway industry. Well, finally, on Inside Broadway, just wanted to remind you that we have a Broadway opening coming up this week called Bridge and Tunnel, a one-woman show starring Sarah Jones. And I saw the show about 2 or 3 years ago when she first did it off-Broadway, and it was pretty good. It's basically poetry slam night at a little Brooklyn dive, and she plays all these different characters getting up there to talk about their lives and do their poetry slamming stuff. And it's funny and a little bit touching and pretty well done. She's talented. Probably it came to the fore more than it would have because Meryl Streep really liked it and she put some money into it, and I think she might even be one of the producers of the Broadway run. So that's Bridge and Tunnel coming to Broadway this week on Inside Broadway. We've just been Inside Broadway thanks to TotalTheater.com and Performing Arts Insider. Okay, so your business proposal has been typed, proofread, photoshopped, and given a nice cover. Now, all you need is 20 spiral-bound copies and 1,000 printings of your latest brochure. Your Xerox can't do it. Your mailroom can't do it. Hewlett Minuteman Press can do it all. Your one-stop printing shop, Minuteman, 1315 Broadway in Hewlett, open 6 days a week, 10% off for Dave's Gone By listeners. Family-owned Minuteman. Their service can't be duplicated.
One by one, the guests arrive. The guests are coming through.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By. I have a guest, and, you know, a lot of our guests tend to be from the entertainment world. We have a lot of singers on, some actors and directors, and, you know, playwrights, and that's really cool, and that tends to be where my head is at a lot of the time. But sometimes it's fun to go a little further afield for people who have interesting stories or life tales to tell, although this one is also an author, a fiction author, and we'll talk a little bit about that, but also her real life experiences in boardrooms. Kind of interesting there. So we have with us Kathleen Brush on the phone, and she's the author of the book Watch Your Back, The Corporate Experience Behind the Scenes. And again, it's a fictional book. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about it, Kathleen Brush?
Sure thing. Well, Watch Your Back is it's a novel about one of my real-life nail-biting adventures. And what it describes is the story of a turnaround. So it's the turnaround of a software company, a public software company in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is just filled with horror.
Okay.
Everywhere you look, there's the protagonist is somebody that's very skilled in management and ready to turn around this really disastrous company. But there's no end in sight for horrible things that she has to undo in order to affect the turnaround.
Well, okay. I mean, what are some of the things that the book is based on in your personal experience of being a turnaround person?
Well, the downsizing, for one, or repeated downsizing, and the effect that has on the employees in addition to the shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, there's a lot of very interesting elements to that. Certainly downsizings are emotional events for the employees.
Mm-hmm.
And it can bring out the best and worst in people when they're faced with losing their job. It's a frightening experience, and they will do the darndest things in order to prevent being downsized.
Well, what are some of the things that they've done that you've experienced?
Well, it's something that I call the workplace assassin phenomena. And what happens is that once people start thinking that there's a downsizing in the offing, what they do is they plan their strategies for how they're not going to be eliminated in the reduction. And what they will do is, you know, they'll turn on their best friends in order to try and get themselves placed in a better light than their best friends. And then after the downsizing, of course, there's some people that, you know, if the downsizing isn't handled properly, they become very violent.
Were you ever threatened, or did you go directly to the bosses, or what?
Well, I often am the boss.
Right. Okay.
So yes, I have been threatened. You know, there's been a couple of situations where I've had to hire security companies to protect me. I've had people, you know, very large people, and I'm not very large. Approach me and let me know that my health would be better if I left.
Well, what is your response to that? I mean, obviously they're really upset people, and yet they don't really have the right to do that. So how do you respond at that moment before you can call the security company?
Well, first of all, you have to be very, very cool.
Okay.
And you know, you really have to assess the individual situation. You know, if you think that the person can be talked to, then, you know, you'll say something like, okay, well, let's sit down and discuss this. There's been one situation where the employee was completely out of control, and the only thing that I could think to do was to pick up the phone and dial 911.
Wow, okay.
But it really is situational dependent, and, you know, if you know something about the employee, that'll help you.
Well, why didn't you get into this field? Which, let's face it, I mean, the first thing that turnaround tends to be is firing a bunch of people, which is not, you know, the most delightful job that people would definitely want to sign up for.
Enough said. The reasons for getting into this field are certainly not to fire people, because, as you've just said, firing people, that's never a good time. It's just not something that you ever want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you get placed into situations as a turnaround executive that are just unbelievable. You walk into a company that has problems in all four corners of the building or buildings, and you now have a mandate to fix the problems. You know, so, yeah, there's the downsizing that takes place, but after that, you now have the opportunity to, you know, change roadkill into a respectable place of business.
Well, besides, after the firings are done, what are the other things that you do?
Well, when a company needs to be turned around, you know, the problems are not the employees per se. The problems are that, you know, you've had management that has done a terrible job in terms of they don't have new products, you know, to drive revenue. Or they've been overspending in any number of areas.
Hmm.
And so, you know, my job then is to convert the company. You know, so we need to have a plan in place so that we can come up with new products, so that we can then drive revenue again, so that we don't ever have to do a downsizing again. You need to look for other places to cut costs, meaning other places other than employees.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you really have to do a lot of detective work, because there's a lot of people that go to great lengths to make it difficult for you to realize how money has been spent inappropriately.
And there's also inappropriate behavior. One of the things that in the pre-interview we were talking about is some of the things that CEOs and vice presidents were caught doing in corporate America that,
yeah,
you know, make your jaw drop, as it were, hopefully not literally.
Right, yes. Yes, the,
yeah,
yes,
got
the,
that.
The behaviors are, they're unbelievable. I think one of the stories I was telling you was in one company where I came in, the CEO had just resigned. And his moment of ultimate indiscretion was at the company Christmas party. And he was in a room with five women, and he said, "I slept with all but one of you. Can you guess who the unlucky one is?" Well, it just so happened that the unlucky one was the vice president of HR. and she didn't take the she didn't think the CEO was all that entertaining.
Well, Christmas parties tend to be, you know, I mean, that's legend where people get out of control. There ought to be a moratorium within like 24 hours after a Christmas party, I guess, for certain companies. The rest of the year, everybody's got to watch themselves, but you should be allowed to go over the line a little bit, no?
Not Dave, no.
No, okay.
Well, I mean, going over the line is one thing, but that story that I just told you, I mean, that's never acceptable.
Okay.
I mean...
I don't necessarily mean that particular story, but what about some other stories that, true stories that...
Oh, okay. And this one story is depicted in my book. This is this company had no new products, which is a kind of common occurrence. And there was a vice president of research who was in charge of new products. And, you know, he just kept saying that, you know, everything that he came up with just wasn't enough. Well, as it turns out, when we looked into this a little more closely, the only thing that he was researching was pornography. And his personal computer, you know, doubled for a triple X peep show. And this was going on for a very long period of time. You know, meanwhile, there's hundreds of employees that are counting on this person's leadership to develop new products so that the company can sustain itself.
Well, you know, a sexually satisfied leader is a good leader, I guess.
Well, no, he was a married man with three children.
All right.
He
was
being paid a couple $100,000 a year to develop new products.
Hey, at least
the company was not in the pornography business.
I know. Hey, but at least he was serving porn instead of boinking four out of five of the other people in his company. You know, that puts him one run above the other guy.
Well, now... You know, I'd never looked at it from that perspective, Dave.
Yeah, and, you know, he's touching himself, not the vice president of human resources. It's a step upward, you know.
Okay. Well, then maybe let's see how you rank this one.
Okay.
In another company, the entire executive team was thrown out, and one of the things that the entire executive team had partook in,
mm-hmm,
was that they had created a club. And it was based off a spin-off off of Austin Powers and the bots that he has.
Yeah.
But, so in their club, they nominated attractive females to be fembots. And any female that was a fembot was entitled to perks such as bonuses, stock options, country club memberships.
Now, was this a secret club were the women apprised of this? And they knew that if they called themselves fembots, they would be able to partake in these bonusi.
Yes, the women were aware of it.
Yeesh.
Yes.
All right, that's pretty, that's icky. I admit that's kind
of
icky.
Well, you know, and what's pretty crazy is that there were a lot of people in the company that knew about it.
Hmm.
But, you know, who do you tell?
Well, yeah, but I mean, there's always been that sort of, I mean, if you go into any, major entertainment company, the person at the front desk is going to be a hot young woman. Because
right,
that's the face that they want to show. So there's always going to be some slant towards attractiveness or you know, sexual desirability, even if that is quote unquote illegal or the ACLU would be up in arms or anything like that. So there's certain levels of that to be expected, however horrible that is.
Yeah.
So the fembot thing is just pushing it to.
Well,
you know what it is. I also think so many of these beeps and CEOs are coming out of basically frat boy college situations. This is the way they behaved, you know, for 4 years when they were living in the dormitory. And they're just carrying on that basic sort of wild behavior into corporate America.
Well, Well, you know, Dave, I think the thing that I find just, I mean, I understand where you're coming from and that you could be right. But the fact is that, you know, we're talking about CEOs and other executives of companies, right? And what they should have been learning in college is how to run a company, how to motivate employees. And so, you know, what they should have learned is whatever they were doing in the frat house, it doesn't apply in a business situation. And, you know, these things are not funny. You know, they destroy motivation and morale. They destroy shareholder value. They have no place in the corporate workplace.
Of course. I mean, yes. It's not so much that I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm trying to offer explanations and whatever. I'm not going rah-rah fembot. Although, you know, I am auditioning fembots on the next episode of Dave's Gone By. The studio is at 404 Route 109 in West Babylon. Bring three costumes and handcuffs. Whoever's interested, and there's, you know, I'm going to be open about this. There's no age limit. So if you're 78, if you're 93, you know, and you look good in the walker, come on by. There may be a bot slot for you. This will all go out in the editing. Hi, this is Dave Lefkowitz of Dave's Gone By, reminding you to tune in every Thursday night at 8 and 11 Eastern Time for the best of Dave's Gone By on Live365.com and the special channel DFSX Radio. All you gotta do is go to my website, davesgoneby.org, click on the link, and you can hear a classic episode of Dave's Gone By every Thursday night, 8 and 11. Go to dfsxradio.com for more of me.
Hi, this is Dr. Kathleen Brush, and I'm the author of Watch Your Back, The Corporate Experience Behind the Scenes. And you're listening to Dave's Gone By on WGBB.
Why did you choose to write a fictional version of all this,
well,
then, like either how to save a company, because how-to books tend to be, you know, bigger sellers actually than fiction, I would figure.
Well, you know what? There was some method behind my selection. One, I have found that business books are extremely boring, and to me, that's one of my theories as to why there are so many incompetent people in business today. Frankly, they just don't find it exciting to learn about the craft.
Okay.
And so I thought, well, what if I create a business style book, but put it into the form of a page turning novel? You know,
okay.
that will make it more interesting, and perhaps people will read the entire book as opposed to a few pages and putting it on the bookshelf. But another reason is that, you know, there's a lot of wicked people.
You're talking to one. Come on.
And watch your back.
Oh.
There's a lot of wicked people there. And, you know, I don't want, you know, readers to think, oh, you know, this is, you know, so-and-so from, you know, the town of Ridge that's terrible. I prefer for them to think as that these are generic characters. Because in my experience, these awful people, they are pretty generic.
What was the most awful experience that you had, not so much with a fire, or all told together? What was like the one day that you had that you were like, you came home shell-shocked?
Well, I think that would be the day that I found out that somebody on my staff was planning to contact the media with a fictitious story that made me out to be a female version of Dennis Kozlowski. And at that point, all I had done was worked around the clock for months on end. Yeah, that was pretty shocking.
Why don't we kind of wrap up with this? By the way, I'm talking with Kathleen Brush, who is the author of Watch Your Back, The Corporate Experience Behind the Scenes, which is, by the way, how can people get the book?
Well, you can get the book at Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com, or you can look at excerpts from the book at sandpiperinnovationgroup.com.
Why don't you get a longer URL while you're at it?
Well, you know, the URLs are hard to get these days.
Oh, I know. Well, you go .net, .info, .org, .bot. Remember, if you're applying for the fembot position at Dave's Gone By, Dave's Gone By at bot. I'm sorry, sandpiperinnovationgroup.com is to read excerpts of the book, and which is a game called Watch Your Back. But let's close with something positive. What are three things that most plague big businesses that are in trouble, and how can we fix them?
The number one thing that plagues companies is incompetent management. And, you know, the fix for that is to be much more careful in your selection. You know, I have this theory that oftentimes managers are anointed. But perhaps a better thing to do would be to test people on their qualifications for leadership and planning, et cetera.
Okay.
The second thing is badly run companies, they don't have processes in place. For example, for coming up with new products, and I know I've spoken a lot about that, because there are so many companies that fail because they can't continue to come out with new innovations. But they don't have a process in place for how do you go about coming up with concepts, how do you go about researching the concepts.
Hmm.
Once you have approved the concepts, how do you go about, you know, actually getting it into development, getting it out of development, into marketing, out to sales.
Cool. And one more thing.
One more thing. There is a lack of understanding as to what constitutes competition. I run into companies all the time when I ask them who their competitors are. They say, we don't have any competitors.
Oh, boy.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, and it's, you know, they have defined themselves so, you know, into such a niche that they throw out everyone else. You know, whereas, you know, there's substitute products all the time. There's other products that provide larger functions that incorporate the functions. But it's a huge problem if you don't fully understand who your competition is, because that's who you've got to do battle with.
Well, I know there's a lot of competition out there for books and book sales, but I do want to tell people, hey, give this book a shot. It's called Watch Your Back, The Corporate Experience Behind the Scenes. Yes, it's a fiction book, but it is based on real experiences and I'm assuming quite helpful in how to help make a company better, how to save a company. And want to thank Kathleen Brush, my guest on Dave's Gone By, for being a wonderful book bot this episode. Best of luck with the book. Best of luck with everything. Thank you so much for being in the neighborhood.
All right. Thank you, Dave.
Sponsor me. Dave's Gone By. Run your ad. Folks will buy. If you want to reach the public, sponsor me. Advertise on this program for incredibly reasonable rates with long-term discounts. See prices at davesgoneby.org or call 516-295-1511. Sponsor me. If you're wise on Dave's Gone By, you'll advertise. If you want to be successful, sponsor me. Well, hello, Aru. Peter Fitzgerald here, Vice President of WiggleFar, the Woodmere Gay Liberation Front, and Rear. And I'm so happy to be back on Dave's Gone By. Dave asks me on every now and again to give my opinion, my 2 cents, my $3 bill, as it were, on issues affecting the gay, lesbian, transgender, and multi-pudendid community. Now, movies with homosexuals in them are no longer a rarity. Certainly not at my local video store, where copies of Man Chowder 3 get rented faster than a West Side one-bedroom with rent control. But even now, a big-budget movie that puts gay themes front and center is unusual enough to be hot news for mainstream media. Ooh, there's a gay couple in The Producers. Ooh, the young lovers in Rent have AIDS. Ooh, what do you think Wallace really does to Gromit? But no movie has had the press attention of Brokeback Mountain, a gay cowboy story directed by Ang Lee and starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Heath Ledger. Those little cuties play gay rancheros, closeted gay rancheros, in 1961 Wyoming. So, of course, these cowboys have all sorts of obstacles, including marriages and intolerance and self-hatred and chafing. Now, much as I'm thrilled, that such a major, award-winning movie is being made about us 10%ers, I have to say I'm a little disappointed it's such a downer. I mean, I haven't seen it, but from the trailers and all the reviews, you'd think being homo was the most depressing, tragic thing in the world. Well, maybe on a Saturday night when you're eating Chinese takeout and watching X-Files reruns and waiting for your cell phone to vibrate. But I digress. I have nothing against Ang Lee and his little movie. But why can't we have a fun gay cowboy film? What's wrong with raunchy ranchers who toss back whiskey without needing a Zoloft chaser? Why can't we have a couple of rump riders who put something long and hard in their mouths that isn't the barrel of a shotgun? Now, if I were making a gay cowboy movie, I would do things so differently. There'd be laughs, there'd be joy, there'd be sex. There wouldn't be a dry Hanes in the house. You don't believe me? Well, it just so happens, long before Brokeback Mountain got made, I had my own screenplay circulating at all the studios. The working title was Homo on the Range, and we even did a low-budget trailer for it, something to show the suits. There was some interest at one of the big three, but then someone got fired, and someone else got fired, and then 12 other people got fired, and suddenly we were in turnaround. Too bad we weren't in turnover. But as the phrase goes, that's showbiz. Maybe, if Brokeback is a hit, they'll start returning my phone calls, and they can do it as a sequel, but Boink Mountain. Anywho, here's that little trailer we did, just to give you a taste of the wild, wild west. Oh, engineer, roll 'em.
Hello. Yoo-hoo. Excuse me. Cowboy.
Well, who are you?
My name's Jack. Jack Offalot? What's yours?
My name's Ennis. Ennis Rimming.
Howdy, Ennis. Are you a cowpoke, too?
Cows, sheep, llamas, I'll poke anything.
I'll be still my beating meat.
You're not from round these parts, are you?
These parts? No, I have my own private parts.
Do tell.
I own a ranch 100 miles from here. Got half a dozen horses, lots of chickens, goats.
Forget all that. Do you have a decorator or do you just, you know, thrift shop?
Actually, I'm kind of new to all this. My dad owned the ranch yonder and his dad before him. I was up in New York when I got the call. He wasn't long for this world. Last thing he said to me is, always remember Jack Offalot. This land has been in the family for 200 years. An awful lot of land. And it's yours now, so do your family proud. Stop drinking, stop cussing, and throw away those muscle magazines.
My goodness, so you're a city boy. Ever been to Chelsea?
Oh, does J. Edgar Hoover wear heels?
Wiggle! So, Jack, what brings you here to Buck Boink Mountain?
Well, I was riding along and I saw smoke coming up your chimney.
Really? I thought I pulled the curtain when smoke was in town.
And then I saw the fabulous brand you have on your cattle and sheep. WF.
Yes, it stands for the Wiggling Fist.
So I thought it'd be neighborly and pay a visit.
Well, I'm right glad you did, cowboy. If you stay for dinner, I have a sweet potato and leek puree simmering on the stove. And there's also goose liver pate and with little cute rye breads shaped like hearts.
Sounds delish. Somewhere in this rucksack I've got broccoli florets in a warm green truffle reduction.
That leaping sound you just heard was my tummy doing jumping jacks. Or did I mean jump on jacks?
Shh, that's so loud. Are your neighbors liberal?
Well, they're somewhat left of the Ku Klux Klan and right of the DAR. But so long as I stay indoors when their kids come back from the schoolhouse, they don't bother me.
But Ennis, you don't get lonely out here on the prairie?
Sometimes. But I have marvelous friends and hundreds of books in my sitting room and a stack of record albums a mile high. Do you like Shirley Bassey?
Does the cow poop in the grass?
Well said.
No, I mean it. Does the cow poop in the grass?
Well, of course. How can you not know? Oh, my Lord, you are a newbie.
Don't remind me. I have all these sheep and cattle, and I've never so much as gone near a farm animal. Well, not in daylight, anyway.
Do you have a ranch hand?
No, but my wrist still hurts from when I read those muscle magazines.
No, I mean, are you doing this all by your little old self?
Well, yeah. Until I get things going, I can't afford any help. I gotta do it all on my own. Shearing, branding, herding. I don't even know how to milk a cow.
Oh, there's nothing to it.
Easy for you to say.
It's all in the fingers and the pulling.
That's how I got my ranch in.
Here, make believe I'm a cow.
Okay, you're a cow. Want to chew my cud?
Oh, be serious. I'm going to show you what you have to do.
Can I call you Flossie or Bessie? Bessie's a good name for a cow.
Especially when she sings God Bless America. Wiggle, wiggle! Okay, enough fooling around for the moment. Picture me as a big fat heifer. Mm. No comment. Now it's your job to milk me.
Ooh!
Just reach under me. Don't be scared. Now feel around for... Oh, I think you found my udder.
I think I have two.
You have such warm hands. Lucky cows.
Do I just squeeze it?
Yes, and tug on it. Oh, that's it.
Oh, I think I'm getting the hang of it.
Yes, and you should see the way I'm hanging.
How long do I keep doing this?
Oh, until I say stop. I mean, until you fill the bucket.
A bucket? Gee whiz.
Oh, yes, I've been taking a lot of vitamin E. Oh, I think your lesson's about to end.
Yes?
Yes! Yes!
Wiggle!
My goodness. And look, milk!
You are such a good teacher, Annis.
Oh, this is just the beginning. The things I could show you.
Really?
Let me put it this way. I have a closet full of saddles and not one horse.
Ooga!
Now come along with me, darling. I'm starving!
I'll saute the broccoli, you spread the pate.
That's not all I'll be spreading. Wiggle! Music swells, and so does the audience. Now that is my idea of a gay cowboy movie. No suffering, no homophobia, no martyrs, just some good clean bone milking. Oh well, one day Hollywood will understand. Especially when it's being run by all these big stars who are now in the closet, but one day will finally come out. Stars like, oh, I see my time is up. Well, this is Peter Fitzgerald wishing you a most happy new year. Unfortunately, we're no longer in the gay 90s, but we're in the homo O's. So remember, be here, be queer, be fabulous.
Wiggle all your hands in the air. Wiggle to the front, wiggle to the rear. Wiggle till you wiggle right out of here.
These are the Daves.
Wait, did he just say these are the Daves?
These are the Daves.
He did. Van Morrison is singing about Daves Gone By and the CDs we have of the show. Dozens of complete episodes available on cassette and CD. $12 a piece, shipping included, and cheaper if you buy more. And add a dollar each for an autograph. Visit DavesGoneBy.org to get these gracious presents today.
Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this 22nd of January in the year of Aught 6. Thank you so much for being with us tonight and for following this show to its new time slot. It's always a pain to change the day and time of a program, even when it's a positive move. You still have to notify all the listeners and make up new flyers and inform all the websites. It's a lot of extra work, but worth it to keep the show moving forward, to keep our listeners listening and our supporters supporting. I thank very much for supporting Dave's Gone By the following friends of the show. Hewlett Minuteman Press, the copy kings of the South Shore. 10% off all jobs if you mention this program. Same goes for subscriptions to Performing Arts Insider Theater Magazine. Check out PerformingArtsInsider.com to find out why every theater lover should buy PAI. And if you know someone looking to refinance their home, take out a business loan, maybe needs money for home improvements, you can help them while helping yourself. Everybody wins, thanks to MortgagesRock.com. Licensed brokers who teach you how to be a broker. A little bit of training, and you are well on your way to making commissions and helping your friends and coworkers save money on their costs. MortgagesRock.com guides you every step of the way, but the less work they have to do, the more commission you get to keep. MortgagesRock.com, where making money never sounded so good. Speaking of good sounds, don't forget that you can still hear the sounds of Dave's Gone By on Thursday nights. Not on WGBB, but on DFSXRadio.com. It's a web channel that plays the best of Dave's Gone By twice a night, Thursdays at 8 and 11 Eastern. Now, there's no fee. It's not like satellite. You don't need a special box or automotive laser helmet. Just point, click, and listen on the web. And you can go directly from my website, davesgoneby.org. That's also the place to buy my stuff, my book, my CDs. Nearly 90% of the shows that I've done since I've been on the air have been put on CD, from the very first one to this one in a day or two. So if you want your own copy of Butt Boink Mountain, go to davesgoneby.org. Just $12 per disc. Add $1 for my autograph because, you know, I am a superstar. But I haven't lost touch with all you little people out there. And by little people, I mean children and midgets. But I thank everyone who supports Dave's Gone By. Thank you, DFSX Radio Maestro David Tanney. Thank you, GBB Program Director Tom Ross. Thanks to Trevor and Dennis at the station. And Joe Salzone, leaving WGBB for greener pastures across the hall. Thanks, Joe, for nearly 4 years of great radio, for having me so many times on your show. Much luck and success. You know you'll always have a place in the neighborhood. Special thanks to Peter Fitzgerald. Always good to get his input. Well, so long as he wears a condom. And to my good friend Jeff Goodman for helping Peter out on that segment. Always a good sport and a great guest, Jeff Goodman. My thanks as well to Kathleen Brush, author of Watch Your Back, may she never have to fire anyone again. And thanks, as always, to my beloved wife, Joyce, who stokes the fires of my heart, which is why I carry a Tums. And hey, everybody wish me a happy birthday tomorrow, January 23rd. Old Dave turns 42. But I don't look a day over 41 and three quarters. All right, it's time for me to pump three quarters in the jukebox for some outro music. We'll do the usual. Waterboys doing Van Morrison's Sweet Thing. It's been a sweet thing doing this program again. And I'll be back to do it some more next week at this time, episode number 158 of Dave's Gone By. Until then, don't miss your days going by. This is Dave Lefkowitz. Good night. Good to be back. And gone by.
I will throw my way and jump the hedges first. Drink the clear, clean water for to quench my thirst. And I will watch the ferry boats and they'll get high. Against the blue ocean, against tomorrow's sky. And I will walk and talk in gardens all wet with spring. Never, ever, ever, ever get so old again. Ooh, sweet thing. Yeah, 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 sweet thing. My, 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 Daniel, speak some crap. Hey, it's me. I'm dynamite and I don't know why. And you will take me warm in your arms again. And I will not remember that I ever felt the pain. And I will walk and talk. God is all wet with rain.
world again.
Sweet things.